Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're continuing our journey this week, looking at the extraordinary treasures that we have been given. Paul says the treasures we've been given, we carry in earthen vessels. He's talking about our human weakness, our frailty, weak and broken people who have been given a kingdom. The mercy of God has been given to us and the treasures that are in a person in Jesus, the treasures he possesses as the glorious, magnificent Son of God. Wow. That from all eternity, the second person of the Trinity, the delight of the Father, the apple of his eye, through whom all things were made, through whom all things were created, the one who is meant to be preeminent and will be preeminent. He will be before all things in the mind of the Father, and that will happen, and it's happening. And he's inviting us now to join with him in the magnificence and the wonder of what he possesses. And it's so important for us, friends. There's so much division in the world, so much bad news everywhere, so much discouragement, depression, confusion, anger, rivalry, lust, false idols being sold day to day, terrible politics, you name it. You know it, I know it. What we're called to do, as the scripture says, lift up your eyes to the heavens where your help comes from. And to be able to see and to say, I know. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. What we've been seeing this week, what we've been listening to, are the words of the apostles and the magnificent vision that filled their minds and their imagination and their heart, their knowledge of the glory and majesty of Jesus, and all the many gifts that came with it. Faith, hope, and love, and everything that flows from it, the spiritual gifts we've been talking about, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the charisms, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the sacramental life of the church, all the wonderful gifts the Lord is giving to us. And he, as we're mainly focused on life here on earth and pursuing all the things we want to pursue and trying to find happiness here, he's working out in us the end game. He told us life is short. It's a passing shadow. We're here today, gone tomorrow. We're not made for this world. We're made for the kingdom of God. We're not made for this fallen condition of a fallen world. We're made to live as body persons, glorified, but living in God's new creation. That's what it's about. Now, we have a mission on this earth to do. We have a mission to walk in obedience, to help bring about his kingdom here on the earth, but we don't ultimately fix the world. We don't glorify the world. We show forth God's glory in the world as we fulfill what God has called us to do. But I've been reading through St. Peter yesterday. It was in 1 Peter chapter 1. Just some of the gold that Peter brings to us that, friends, if we internalize this stuff through the help of the Holy Spirit, it will change us. You know that happiness that you're seeking? Here's where you're going to find it. The joy that you're seeking? Here's where you'll find it. The peace that you desire in your heart? Here's where you'll find it. A sense of identity, purpose, and destiny, here it is, right here. We're going to continue. We ended yesterday with verse 16, where Peter said, set your hope on the revelation of what's coming with Jesus Christ when he comes again. Be obedient children. So he's calling us to obedience. We're God's children. We're in God's family, God's new family, the new family of Jesus that he established. So we're God's children. He says, be obedient children, like Jesus was obedient. Now that word people hate, today in the culture. Somehow it's you know, we don't want to obey anybody else. We want to be the masters of our own destiny. But think of Philippians 2. Think of the cross of Jesus Christ. The central message Jesus gave was from the cross. He humbled himself and became obedient, even unto death. He loves humility. The kingdom, I don't know how you'd say it, the character of the kingdom of God is humility, meekness, patience, kindness. It's there. So Peter's exhorting us, again, different ways of walking in the footsteps of Jesus. He said, because remember, you're called to be holy. God said, you shall be holy as I am holy. That's not something we can do because we're not holy. You know it and I know it, right? But he is. And the Holy One has come to live in us as in a temple. And he's come to bring the storehouse of his help and his treasure. And he's begun a process he's going to complete. Jesus is discipling everyone who seriously says yes to him. Jesus is going to lead us to ever greater degrees of purification, and he's going to present us one day by his grace to the Father, purified, made holy by his blood, by his power, by his hand that's guiding our lives. Nobody can do that except him. Nobody. No other religious guru, no positive thinker, no great philosopher, nobody. Certainly there's things to learn from different people, no question. But only Christ can make us holy by giving us a share in his life and his power, because we need power and life, his life, the life of God, to be at work in us. And he, thanks be to God, is the faithful Son who will complete the commission and the assignment that the Father has given him to bring us home to the Father's house. He's like a big brother who's gone after a younger brother who's run away or is strayed, and he is going to climb every mountain. He's going to every city. He's going to knock on every door. He's going to do whatever it takes to find his younger brother and bring him home to the Father. That's what Jesus is doing for us. Imperfect analogy, but I think you get the point. The reading goes on in verse 17. And if you invoke as Father him who judges each one impartially according to his deeds, so he said, if you invoke, you speak about the Father. You know, as the Spirit of God has been given to us, Paul says in Ephesians. God's love has been poured into our hearts. And we don't live as slaves anymore. We don't live by slavish fear. But we now have confidence in our hearts of children who cry out, Abba, Father. And it's that Father who judges. He's given judgment over to the Son, but the Son has received from the Father what will become the basis of the judgment. He examines every heart, and he judges us impartially. He's not like judges in the world. Judges are imperfect, and some are more impartial than others. Depends on their character. It depends who they are. And he said that we're going to be judged according to the deeds. He said, if many people say, Lord, Lord, we'll say the name of Jesus. And he'll say, as the judgment day comes, and they stand before him, he said, but Lord, Lord, Jesus said, yeah, but you didn't obey me. The love language of heaven, we got to get this right, is obedience. We're not perfect at it yet, and that's why we have confession, and that's why God's mercy comes. But God knows you're all in when you're starting to walk in obedience, not just when you talk the talk, but when you walk the walk. That's what matters. And he goes on to say, then conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. Do you see the biblical mind? You see the renewed mind he has? Where are we right now? We're exiled from what? From home. This is not our home. Until the King establishes a new heaven and a new earth, or if we die before then and stand before him and go home, that's home. Heaven is home. Heaven is where God is. And we are in exile. He's with us. We're inhabiting enemy-occupied territory. This is not our home. But it's interesting. He said that, conduct yourselves with fear. This is why having the right understanding of the fear of the Lord is very important. He's not talking about being afraid around every corner that something's going to happen to you, or that he's constantly angry and he's in heaven stomping around because he's so disappointed in you. That kind of slavish fear of just pure punishment. He's just going to punish me. All that kind of stuff. It's just, that's not what's called the fear of the Lord. Here's the kind of thing that produces the fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit does this, but think about Isaiah chapter 6. I'll read this to you. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, this is Isaiah, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Those are angels. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. So these mighty angels that if we got a glimpse of, we'd fall down and tremble, and we'd probably attempt to worship as God because of their magnificence. but they're messengers, and they're declaring a reality of what they see. Verse 4, and the foundations of the threshold of the temple shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Friends, just by way of a slight aside, we are living, we ourselves can speak the same words Isaiah is speaking. I'm a man of unclean lips, and boy, not just me, but they're all over the place. They're on Twitter, they're on Facebook, they're on news programs, they're on talk shows, there's just uncleanness all over the place. The passions of the flesh being manifested. And Isaiah is catching a glimpse of the holiness of God, and he's overwhelmed. It's like Peter when he saw the Lord doing a miracle, doing a work, and he fell down and said, Lord, leave me, I'm a sinful man. That is a place of grace to be able to grasp that. You're God and I'm not. You're holy and I'm not. And the only eternal future there is a holy one. It's God. And it's either living in God or being God's enemy, and that's terrible. And then it goes on to say, then flew one of the seraphim to me, having in his hand a burning coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar in heaven. And he touched my mouth, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go, and to say to this people, hear, and do not understand, see, and do not perceive. Make the heart of this people fat, and their ears heavy, and their eyes, and lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and they turn and be healed. Turn and be healed. Here's Isaiah, a sinful man. He knew his weakness. He knew his frame before God. He knew them, and he just caught a glimpse of the majesty of God and the reality of heaven and God's holiness, and he was overwhelmed. He was literally undone. He was laid flat. Who can stand before the mighty God? Well, a lot of people in this world do. That's the darkness of a human mind. A lot of people pounding their chests and defining their own reality, ignoring God, making up their own gods. It's just absolute insanity. A time is coming, friends, and it's not far away, when the judgment of God is going to be revealed on the earth. It's already begun in different ways, and it's begun in the church. A deep, purifying, redemptive discipline is on the church, and the Lord is leading us to have this kind of holy fear so that we get wisdom, we get smart, we align ourselves with reality, we stop doubling down on foolishness and futility and the darkness of an empty mind that's just filled with darkness, and we come into the light, and we let the Lord touch our tongue. The Eucharist is like this fiery coal. The work of the Spirit coming upon us is like this fiery coal. Let's receive it, let's walk in it, say yes to it, and become it by His grace.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The Scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.